This morning is the economic moment Wall Street and Washington have been waiting for. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Later this morning, we will get one of the most anticipated jobs reports in a long time. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is in Washington with a preview. Kimberly, these numbers will give us a look at what the economy was doing in February, but we've gotten some other numbers ahead of this. What do we know so far?
Well, we already saw surprisingly good jobs numbers from the private company ADP and its national employment report that said private sector employers hired 298,000 workers last month. That's the largest amount in a year. Now, a lot of these jobs were at small businesses, and as we can see from the ongoing market rally, there does seem to be a lot of business optimism.
So where's that optimism coming from?
We spoke to Putri Pasquale. She's a managing director and portfolio manager at investment firm PAMCO, and here's what she said.
Consumer confidence is good. Pace of job creation is strong. Participation rate for labor is higher. So it means that there's a lot of job creation. Job creation is strong, and that people who previously weren't in the market looking for jobs are now back, wanting to get jobs and getting them.
So we've been seeing this growth for a while, but one thing to watch in this report in particular is what it says about wage growth, which was a weak point in the January report. Analysts are expecting a modest increase, partly due to higher minimum wages kicking in some states.
Okay, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in D.C. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. In the UK, shares are up 0.4%. In Germany, stocks are up 0.6%. Bond markets already on the move, anticipating a big jobs number, driving a Fed move to hike interest rates. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is 2.6. Asian markets closed, mostly up. Let's stay with Asia, where events rapidly unfolding in South Korea are rocking the highest levels of the country's business and politics. At the center of it is a giant company that makes products you probably use every day. South Korea's constitutional court has removed President Park Geun-hye from office. Her case is tied up in a giant bribery scandal involving electronics giant Samsung. The top executive there is now on trial for bribery and embezzlement. There are big questions about the future as violent protests have broken out in the streets today. BBC correspondent Stephen Evans is in Seoul with this report on what may be next.
The real action now, I think, probably goes on in the courts and probably involving soon-to-be ex-President Park. And that central charge is that she brokered a deal between some of the country's biggest corporations and her best friend, whereby they give the best friend money. She used influence on their behalf. As president, she can't be tried. As ex-president, she can be tried and put behind bars.
The BBC's Stephen Evans in Seoul. The new president plans to cut the Environmental Protection Agency budget big league. He's blasting EPA regulations, saying they're holding back American companies. And that president is Ronald Reagan. And the year is 1981. There are many parallels between the Trump administration and the early Reagan era. So we can get a taste of what environmental policy may look like in the years ahead by learning from the past. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from Washington on a rocky time in the EPA's history, which may tell us what we're in for.
Upon entering office, President Reagan asked companies to send him their most despised regulations. He pledged to axe tens of thousands.
I put a freeze on pending regulations and set up a task force.
Sound familiar? This will too. Reagan supported cutting the EPA budget to boost defense spending. Jim Tozzi is consultant to tobacco and chemical companies. At the time, he oversaw EPA spending at the Office of Management and Budget.
If you don't want a lot of regulations, don't hire a lot of regulators. So I held them down. And during that point in time, we had a lean and mean agency.
Reagan's first EPA head was the late Ann Gorsuch. You may have heard the last name before. Her son, Neil Gorsuch, was just nominated for a Supreme Court seat. Ann Gorsuch was a conservative Colorado lawmaker before running the EPA. Lauren Racine was an agency lawyer at the time.
It was an agency being led by somebody who fundamentally opposed what the Environmental Protection Agency was created to do.
Under Gorsuch, EPA enforcement actions fell 80%. A blacklist of pro-regulation bureaucrats was passed around. And a chemical company seeking relief from toxic waste cleanup rules had set up some special meetings.
We didn't realize, but apparently the company was very well connected and demanded a meeting with very high-level political appointees.
Racine, the lawyer, attended one of those meetings. She was unexpected.
The shock on the company's face when I walked into that room was, you know, I remember that to this day. But the whole thing should never have happened, and yet that was what was happening all the time.
Of the more than 400 hazardous waste sites identified by the EPA, just 5 got cleaned up under Gorsuch.
Dealing with parents who have lost children to childhood leukemia, you can't calculate the cost of a slowed cleanup when that's taking place around the country.
Eventually, news leaked of secret meetings and closed-door deals. Congress held Gorsuch in contempt for holding back documents, and she quit after 2 years. Could this happen again? Daniel Fiorino teaches environmental policy at American University. He says back then, the investigations came from Democrats who controlled the House.
Now, President Trump has majorities in both the Senate and the House. The checkers and balancers aren't really there in a sense.
The early 80s were the EPA's toughest time, he says, adding, I think we're on our way to matching that now. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, one of the heaviest hitters in television is taking its time getting back on air. Game of Thrones Season 7 will start on July 16th, HBO says. It has typically premiered in the spring. Other TV shows probably pretty stoked, as the later debut means the show will come too late for the Emmy Awards deadline. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. PM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.